Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Dr. Paul Kanger, who is a best-selling author. In fact, he wrote a whole series of books about God and, such as God and Ronald Reagan, even God and Hillary Clinton. He's also a syndicated columnist, and he's a professor of history and political science at Grove City College. Paul, welcome back to the program.
Hey, anytime, Jerry. Thanks.
Oh, okay. Well, how about next Tuesday? No, just kidding. All right, so here we go. Let's talk about a piece that you wrote recently. It appeared in the American Spectator. Congratulations. That's a great publication. And so anyway, you talked about Hillary and abortion, and specifically a medical doctor, her OBGYN in Arkansas, who was not only helping women with their issues, medical issues, but also doing abortions, thousands of them in that state.
Yeah. How about 20,000 to be exact? And the man who did that, his name is William F. Harrison, the late William F. Harrison. He died about 5 years ago, I guess. And he was, you know, people listening, you're not going to believe this. You might want to pull your car over and put in the brake, just stop for a minute. This guy was not only Arkansas's leading abortion doctor, he was actually the OBGYN to Hillary Clinton when she was in Arkansas. It's amazing but true. I was tipped off to this when I was doing research on my book, the book God and Hillary Clinton, which came out about 10 years ago. And when I first heard it, Jerry, that her doctor was an abortion doctor, I thought, oh, this can't possibly be true, right? This is just, you know, crazy right-wing conspiracy, nutty stuff. But I did what Hillary's liberal biographers don't do. I actually opened my eyes rather than closed them and did a little bit of digging, a little bit of calling, and talked to Harrison, interviewed him, emailed with him, and he confirmed everything for me and more.
Mm. And he was offended when you asked him, about religion and abortion. Comment on that.
Yeah, because that's really why I called him. I said, look, I'm writing this book on Hillary's faith, and the one thing that I'm struggling with and that I know that the readers are going to struggle with, and boy, they do, Jerry, I still get emails every day on this question. But I said she calls herself an old-fashioned Methodist, a lifelong committed Christian. And so I'm wondering, Dr. Harrison, how can this old-fashioned Methodist be just so rabidly pro-choice? And he was offended. He said, Hillary's a Methodist. He said, I was raised a Methodist, and the Methodist Church is very strongly pro-choice. That's what he said to me. And I had to admit that it was true. The Methodist Church at that point, they've gotten better on this lately, but only very, very lately, like the last few months, since about April of 2016, when they met again. They meet every 4 years and they vote and talk on this stuff. But the Methodist Church at the time had an official position of basically supporting legal abortion. And they were even a member of the hideous Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice, along with the Episcopal Church, with Obama's UCC, the United Church of Christ, that was Obama's denomination, with Presbyterian Church USA. And so, for Methodists who are listening, and you kind of soft-pedaled or allowed your church to go in this direction, you need to, I think, hold your church accountable, and really maybe ought to feel accountable yourself for not resisting this and allowing the United Methodist Church's liberalism on abortion help advance the positions of people like Hillary Clinton and even her OBGYN, who was the state's largest abortion provider.
It seems almost schizophrenic to think about a medical doctor who, on the one hand, as her OBGYN, is there to preserve life, is there to protect her in all ways, and then turning around using the same medical practice to end life. It's certainly, if nothing else, it's a jettisoning of the Hippocratic Oath.
Well, he saw himself, Jerry, as, this is astonishing, but this is the kind of Christian language he used. he described his patients to me as born again. And he said, this is an exact quote, I wrote it down very carefully, he kind of reprimanded me. He said, you don't understand, I consider what I do very pro-life. I am saving lives when I do abortions. And you know, he candidly said, I am destroying life. And he even described himself as an abortionist.
Okay, wait.
What's the term abortionist?
I want you to connect the dots here. What is in his thinking, how is what he's doing being pro-life? Is it because he's assuming that these women would kill themselves or would seek an illegal abortion and therefore end up potentially dying, like with a coat hanger or something? I don't know.
Right. Well, that's the answer. That's exactly right, and that's how a lot of liberal pro-choice Christians justify their position. They'll say, I'm not really pro-abortion. I'm pro-choice. This is a regrettable choice that women make. But it's better than dying from a coat hanger in a back alley abortion. Now, of course, even if you were to ban abortion, I guarantee you there wouldn't be 60 million dead would-be mothers that had died from illegal abortions like we have with over 60 million unborn babies who've been aborted since Roe v. Wade. That there might be some of that, but it would not even begin to approach the death toll that, quote, safe, legal, and rare, unquote, abortion has taken upon the unborn since Roe v. Wade in 1973.
The only thing I would disagree with what you just said, I mean, you can push back if you would, but 60 million abortions is absolutely true. And unfortunately, in many cases, there are repeat abortions from the same person. So we wouldn't be talking about 60 million different women who aborted. It would be, I don't know what the statistic is. But,
oh, hey, that's a great point.
You know, two, three, really four abortions sometimes from the same person.
Oh yeah, yeah. And that's the dirty secret. The pro-choicers make it sound like, you know, for most women this is a horrible decision. It's a nightmare, and for a lot of them it is. I mean, I know these women. I know many women in the Silent No More campaign, and you know, for them it was a horrible decision. It was the worst moment of their life. They've never forgotten about it. But those women will tell you too about sitting there in the abortion clinic and being almost floored. As they were sobbing, being almost floored by the girl next to them who's like, it's okay, sweetie, this is my fifth one.
Ugh.
Right? There are a lot of women who use abortion not as a very reluctant choice, but as a form of birth control.
Yeah.
And I know there is data out there on this, but what percentage of women who have abortions have had repeated abortions? Well, I can tell you this, it's high.
Mm. Silent No More. What does that mean? Are they now for abortion, or are they opposed to it now?
Oh, you're not familiar with that campaign. That's an amazing group. One of the people in it is Alveda King.
Oh, okay. Well, then I know it's pro-life. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, and their whole thing is that they are silent no more about their abortion. They carry signs at the pro-life rallies saying, I regret my abortion. And for a long time, they were silent about it because it hurts so much. They didn't want to talk about it. But now they feel that they have to share their anguish so they could try to convince other girls, would-be moms, to not abort their child.
Hmm. Do you have any idea what percentage of those women who have abortions feel guilty about it later?
I don't know of a hard statistic. I'm sure that number is out there, but the women that I've met have never gotten over it. That have nightmares over it, and you know it's a trauma, and they will tell you that not only did the abortion not solve their problem, but it created far worse ones that they've never been able to deal with. And even a lot of Christian women who are post-abortive, they'll say, I just don't feel like I can be forgiven for what I've done. They'll say, I know that God forgives me, but I just can't forgive myself.
Well,
I've heard that many times.
And the good news is, though, some of these pro-life centers, they help women work through that. In fact, one of our local
That's
pro-life
right.
leaders had had an abortion and it initially didn't even think about it. And then 5 years later felt so bad, but didn't know why, couldn't put her finger on it. And then when she realized that's what it was, and then she went through all kinds of classes at a local pro-life, you know, crisis pregnancy center, and it worked through that and felt so good.
Yeah, Rachel's Vineyard, I think, that does that work as well. But yeah, a lot of them need to get that healing and that counseling because it's conscience. It's natural law. And you could come up with all the sophisticated, semi-sophisticated, feminist, secular, progressive, liberal, intellectual arguments that you want to try to justify something. But you know, we are born with a conscience.
Right.
We are born with a sense of right and wrong. You know, the natural law instilled in all of us, we have this inherent sense when something isn't right. And at some point, it might not happen for the girl when she's 18, 19 years old, when she's partying in college, but by the time she's 30 and has other children, it might finally catch up with her, and a lot of times it does.
If she has children, because they say that about 1 out of 10 that do have abortions are not able to conceive later.
I've met them, too.
Yeah, okay, let's focus on Hillary for the rest of our remaining time. It seems to me like Hillary is very hard on this issue and wouldn't even, want women to be informed about the fact, hey, there's a large percentage, it's maybe not the majority, but there are a lot of women who have abortions who feel bad about it afterwards.
Well, that's exactly right. And that's one reason, too, Jerry, why the term pro-choice, they want you to call them pro-choicers. They get really angry if you use the term pro-abortion. And so out of deference and respect, I try to call them what they want to be called. I try to call them pro-choicers. But many of them flat out are pro-abortion, or at least they're taking a pro-abortion position. Let me explain that.
Mm-hmm.
When you fight legislation by a state that is trying to create a law saying that Planned Parenthood clinics and abortion centers must all have ultrasound machines, and the patient must submit to an ultrasound before she has an abortion. Why would you be against that? If you're for women having choice and having more information and having more knowledge, if you're for them knowing about their reproductive choices and their reproductive health, you would want them to have the most informed decision possible. You'd want them to know about women who have regrets, who have physical problems, who have psychological problems. But the abortion industry, and Hillary Clinton too, they fight tooth and nail against that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Because
they're really not pro-choice. They're not trying to advance choice as much as they're trying to advance abortion. Planned Parenthood needs abortion. If they don't have abortions, then their abortion business and their abortion mills go out of business.
Mm.
So they do very little to actually try to slow or stop abortion. And quite the contrary, right now, I mean, Hillary and crew are trying to make it far easier by trying to get taxpayers to fund it.
Wow.
So it's free. So it's even easier to get one. I mean, they want to make not just Hobby Lobby pay for it. They want to make the Little Sisters of the Poor pay for abortion drugs. So the position that they're taking is less pro-choice than it really is pro-abortion.
Yeah.
And they don't like that because I know a lot of them say they don't want women to choose abortion, but the policies that they embrace in advance often simply do facilitate abortion.
All right, we have less than a minute to go, but I remember a bumper sticker I once saw which said, "What do you choose when you're pro-choice?"
Right.
Yeah, and it's true. I mean, if you only have one choice, then you're really not pro-choice, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. And look, there's data out there. This is crisis pregnancy centers, which are pro-life centers, understand this. It's why they want ultrasound machines in their centers. Something like 80 to 90% of women who are considering an abortion change their mind once they've seen the baby in an ultrasound. And that should be what every pro-choice woman would want. But yet they fight it.
Mm.
Yeah, they fight legislation asking women to just like they fight parental consent laws for minors that are seeking to have abortions.
Hillary
and
too?
That's pro-abortion.
Hillary too?
Yeah.
It's almost like Hillary is just so committed to the abortion stance no matter what. Do you think if she becomes president, the number of abortions would increase in the country?
Well, I don't want to go out on a limb and say that, but what I think we find with many things, Jerry, is that when you legalize it and you make it easier, you do get more of them.
And
that's why I'm always arguing with my libertarian friends and even some conservatives who want to legalize drugs. Because I've told them, when you legalize the stuff, you do get more of it.
Yep.
And look, when we legalized abortion, we did get more of it.
Right.
I know choices will say that, well, there was abortion prior to Roe v. Wade. Yeah, but there weren't 1.5 million a year.
Right. And now it's down, now it's about 1 million a year, but we're out of time. Thank you so much, Dr. Paul Kanger, visionandvalues.org, for more information. Okay. All the best.
Take care.
God bless. Bye-bye.